Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
When you have a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. This past weekend for Mother's Day, I'm treating my wife while grilling. I'm treating myself with a Miller Lite. Miller Lite, it just tastes right. Whether it's barbecue season or just celebrating a regular day with burgers and dogs, with a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells great beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Pirelli Scorpion Weather Active. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday at that. And if you follow what we're cooking on the Traeger, we have beer bread, beer braised chicken tacos, and short rib chili coming up later on. Who has it better than
us?
Nobody. 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 All right, welcome to the program. Coming up, we have a home now for Le'Veon Bell, the Kansas City Chiefs. When does he play and what role will he have? I have a couple of suggestions there. Astros beat the Rays. They're still down 3-2. The Braves rolled the Dodgers, and they're up 3-1. We're not sure about the Colts this weekend. Right now, there's some speculation that maybe the Colts game is up in the air. Nick Saban still wants to coach. He wants to be in the building. He wants to know what he can get away with. What are the rules? And how does he kind of push those rules? Georgia-Alabama on Saturday, the big NFL game will be the Packers and the Buccaneers. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you're welcome to join us in a variety of ways. You can email, you can dial us up, you can tweet. We'll have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. We say good morning to those watching on Peacock and also listening on our 376 radio affiliates around the country. Well, they won't go away. The Astros did it again. Baseball's most controversial team stayed alive in the ALCS, beating the Rays in Game 5. Carlos Correa with a walk-off home run in the ninth to keep hope alive in Houston. And here's Dusty Baker, the Astros manager, on Correa going to the plate.
Carlos told me before he went up there, he goes, you know, walk-off. And I said, go ahead on, man. And I said, Lord, please let us walk off, because if not, we got to use Framber, and then we don't have Framber tomorrow. You know, things couldn't have worked out any better at that time.
It's fitting that Correa's been the star. He's been the most outspoken and defiant Astro through all of this. And no matter how you feel about the team, you have to admit they are interesting. If you don't live in the Houston area, odds are you're probably not pulling for them, but you're going to tune in probably just to watch them lose or hope they lose. But Houston's the first team since the 04 Red Sox to force a Game 6 after falling behind 3-0. And we all know what happened in 04. But the Astros have a long way to go here. The Rays still have a great pitching staff. It won't be easy to beat them two more times. But if you're rooting for drama, you might want Houston to stick around a little bit longer. As for the National League, the Dodgers on the brink. Not pretty last night. Here's Dave Roberts on Clayton Kershaw's playoff resume.
He came out and, you know, five innings, one run. And then, the, you know, again, we just, you know, what happened right there in that sixth inning. But he gave us a chance to win the baseball game. You know, we couldn't put any runs up early and get a lead and or hold a lead, you know, after the Eddie home run. But that narrative couldn't be further from the truth.
Here's Clayton Kershaw in that sixth inning, the pivotal sixth inning when the Braves broke it wide open.
It would have been nice to get Acuna out. You know, he's pretty quick right there, and it's just kind of part of playing on turf. You know, he kind of chopped that one up, and, you know, Freddie had two strikes on him and probably just went one too many pitches inside, and he hit it good, but it was on the ground, and still with two strikes, probably got to make a better pitch. And, yeah, it's a tough way to go for that sixth inning for sure.
So now you got to win a couple of them here, and this is a Braves team that, you had the hiccup where you gave up 11 runs in the first inning the previous game, but they do have a good pitching staff, and I still liken them to a better version of the Padres. Those young hitters, they get up there, and they are not overwhelmed. The stage is not too big for them right now. And as far as the Astros, they're doing what they should do. If you are a great team, prove you're a great team, and you'll still go back to the same thing I say. Every time I see them do something great, I say, why did you cheat? If you had this talent, you had two of the best pitchers in a long, long time in Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander. And we see what you can do. But then I always go back to the same thought I have is, you had this talent. You didn't need to cheat, did you? But you did. And that's why it's always going to stick with you. I don't want to hear, if the Astros get by the A's and, or the Rays and go to the World Series, I still don't want to hear from any of these Astros players. Like, how do you like us now? Or, hey, what can you say? Or how can you be critical? Okay. You know, this is what happened. And they can't erase it. Now, you can add something to your resume and you can say, hey, look at what we did. We did it legitimately. Great. Congratulations. They got to win two more games against my Rays. But the Astros are fun to watch. I have to admit that. This program is brought to you by NBC Sports and the Breeders' Cup. It'll be November 6th and 7th. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 great races at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020 and catch all the action live on NBC Sports. McLovin, what do you have for me today?
Okay, if you hate the Astros, like I will admit I lean into that camp, would you rather they lose in the ACLS or advance to the World Series where they could also lose, but you risk them winning? So you hate the Astros.
I think it's the ALCS, but not ACLS.
Are you ALX?
ALCS.
Okay. So run that by me again. Would I rather see
Would you rather them lose to the Rays or advance to the World Series?
So lose in the ALCS or the ACLS or lose in the World Series?
No. You have them go to the World Series. Okay. You don't know if they're going to win or lose. So you have the risk factor.
You know what? I want to see them go into the World Series, but only if they were going to face the Dodgers. That's the only scenario where I would root for them to advance. And I have the Rays going to the World Series against the Dodgers, so I'm going to stay with the Rays and hope they advance. I think it's a good story. I don't know if, you know, when you think of baseball and we think of spring training and you think of Florida and you think of Arizona, it just feels like during the regular season, you know, Tampa's playing, but I don't know if anybody cares. They probably care more about the Lightning and certainly about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But this is a good team. The organization is well run. They don't spend money. They find players. There's no pulse, even in Tampa, it feels like, for the Rays. And that's a shame. And I wonder, is that a relocation project for a team that could be going to the World Series? There's no buzz with them, and that's sad because they are a good team. They've been a good team, and maybe they get a chance to win a World Series this time around. Yeah, McLovin.
Okay, another poll question. Do you blame Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers' loss last night?
No. I mean, Dave Roberts left him in. We thought if Kershaw gave you five innings, that's it. But, you know, you just don't want to go to that bullpen too soon. I think there's always that tendency of, gosh, do I have to go there? Because once you go there, then you can't go back. And Kershaw had pitched well earlier in the postseason, had the back spasms, and I thought if he gives you five innings, which he did, he gave you five quality innings. And then you left him out there, and he had a couple of grounders. They got through, and then all of a sudden, the floodgates opened up. But I can't put all the blame on him, but it's not a coincidence that he struggles in the postseason. This is habit forming here for him. And it's strange to say, this guy's got $300 million. He pitches for the Dodgers. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I feel sorry for him. I do. Because this is something that stays with you forever. Whether it's fair or not, whenever I bring up Clayton Kershaw and I talk about he's one of the great pitchers, I have to say he's one of the great regular season pitchers of all time. Because he's an average pitcher in the postseason. When you're 11-12 and your ERA is over 4, and if I look at that and compare those numbers to his regular season resume, it's you don't even know it's the same pitcher. If I said this pitcher pitches this way in the regular season and pitches this way in the postseason, you'd go, there's no way. But that's been the case with Clayton Kershaw. Yeah, McLovin.
But I feel like in this year's playoffs, no starter, even the great ones, who get past 5 or 6 innings. They're all pulling them. I feel like that was not on Kershaw at all last night. The Dodgers' bats just went to sleep. How do you score 15 runs and then do nothing?
But that's why I said, you know, the tomorrow's momentum is tomorrow's pitcher. Like, who's on the mound facing you? Hey, they put up 15 runs. We've seen this before where all of a sudden the next game, the bats go quiet. You know, I guess there's plenty of blame to go around. Clayton will bear some of that, and he should. Dave Roberts, you can, you know, should he have pulled him? I mean, we have the benefit of hindsight here. And those weren't hard hit ground, you know, they weren't sharply hit. But then you start to add, you know, one, and then there's one, and then all of a sudden all it takes is one big swing, and then you're in trouble. And that's the case. But the Braves have been a better team than the Dodgers. Dodgers have all the talent, should have all the answers, but this is a Braves team that, you know, you're catching them at the wrong time. They're good. They're not afraid. Freddie Freeman has been great. These younger players, you've got a pretty good pitching staff there. And that's where it gets when a team is young and gets confident. It's like the Miami Heat. That's a young team for the most part. They started to gain confidence. They weren't afraid. Hey, we went through the Milwaukee Bucks. Hey, we'll go through the Raptors. Hey, we'll go through the Celtics. You don't have time to think about that. Those are the teams that are really dangerous. When you're a favorite, it's hard to win when you're a favorite. Because even when you do, people go, okay. Like, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It felt like when the Dodgers win, you exhale. Like, there's no celebration. And that's really difficult to play that way when the expectation levels are so high that when you win, it's like, okay, you're supposed to win. The Braves, even the Rays, and you can say the Astros for that, you know, I guess the same direction. It's pretty amazing that there's no expectation level. There's none on the Astros, very little on the Rays, and there was very little with the Braves. And when you're able to do that and have that confidence and all of a sudden, and you love to be able to say nobody picked us, nobody believed in us. And these are teams that can all say that except for the Dodgers. Yeah, Paul.
I know this is looking a little forward, but if the Dodgers don't advance, I think a lot of people think Dave Roberts will be fired, the manager. Do you think that could be a mistake? Because if you compare it to maybe like the 90s Braves, Bobby Cox, he only won one World Series, but he kept, I think he had 14 seasons where he won 90 plus.
Yeah.
Do you think the Dodgers management will appease the fans?
I'm not trying to appease the fans. I'm trying to make the best decision for this team. Now, I've heard both sides to this, and it's been reported on both sides, that Dave Roberts, no matter what happens, is still going to be back. And then there's also, if Doc Rivers got fired by the Clippers, then will the Dodgers, you know, be able to go into next season having flamed out and maybe not got to the World Series and still keep Dave Roberts? I don't know. By all accounts, people love Dave Roberts, the person. But managerial, you know, decisions here, I think that's where you take a really long, hard look in the offseason of what some of those moves were. And I know, you know, this is during a pandemic, and, you know, you can put the season in a vacuum. But there were still decisions that were made, previous year's decisions that were made or not made. And, you know, that might come back and haunt Dave Roberts. You got Dustin May, who's pitching. And then you got Walker Buehler. If they got to a game seven, is Clayton Kershaw going to be your guy? Maybe in a relief situation there. But, man, you've got to get some great pitching here. And then hope that, you know, you're able to. It feels like the Dodger bats keep waiting for somebody else to do it because there's so much talent in that lineup. You just go, yeah, he'll pick us up. Muncy will pick us. Seager's going to do. Bellinger, Mookie Betts didn't do anything last night. So it's not just Kershaw, but he'll be the poster child for when you think of the lack of success. If I juxtapose postseason to regular season, I don't know who comes close, who wants to come close to that. You know, Greg Maddux wasn't a great postseason pitcher. Tom Glavine wasn't a great postseason pitcher. But if I'm looking at the stark contrast of numbers of regular season to postseason, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who's had a career that's similar to Clayton Kershaw's. Yeah, Paul.
Mookie Betts is hitting 143 in the series.
Yeah.
Bellinger's hitting 188. Seager's carrying them.
Yeah.
Peterson's carrying them, too.
Yeah, McLovin.
It's not like the Braves had their ace all. They had some rookie that nobody even knew.
He was like 22 years of age.
Bryce Wilson.
But once again, these guys don't know better. That's why when you look at what the younger players in the bubble did in the NBA, it's because they didn't have to go into a foreign ballpark. They didn't have to face that, you know, home field advantage or home court advantage for the other team. I mean, they were just there, you know, nothing changed. You walked over, you played, and you weren't intimidated by anything. The Braves aren't in Los Angeles facing the Dodgers. They're in Texas. They don't know better. But, man, are they dangerous. All right, so that's the baseball playoffs here. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Albert Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback was the first to report Le'Veon Bell going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I have an idea how they're going to use him. I don't know when they're going to use him, but I want Albert to talk about this decision because he could have gone to the Dolphins, maybe gotten more carries there, but they're going to probably platoon him. I think they're going to use him at the goal line because if there is a knock on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, is he's not good at the goal line. And Le'Veon Bell can still catch the football. Yeah, Paul.
Did anyone think that Le'Veon Bell was going to go to the Dolphins over the Chiefs yesterday? I mean, was that a goof?
No, because if you have a guy who's complained about his lack of use, he's going to go to a team where he's not going to get a lot of touches, where he could go to the Dolphins and probably get more touches. Yes, he.
But like the other way to say that is, I could go to the Dolphins and work my ass off and lose? Okay, yeah, I'm in. Like, why would anybody do that? Or you could go be like the third man in on the Chiefs and get a ring?
Get to play in January.
Yeah. I'll do that all day.
Playoff checks.
Wait, so you guys would rather go and not sure how much you'd play with the Chiefs than actually be the starting running back for the Miami Dolphins?
Definitely. Because the money is essentially the same, right? Basically.
Yeah, you could incentivize it.
Right.
Who's the Dolphins starting running back, McLovin?
They have that kid who I don't know his name.
Wilson, probably.
There you go. That's Smith. All I need to know.
Smith.
Johnson. Who's that guy that have that kid that like, I don't even know. I don't want to go play for that team.
But they could see it. Miles Gaskin. Is that who? No, let's see. Wait, who's the guy? It's a name that we know, but we don't know. It's a new running back. But isn't Le'Veon Bell? He lives there, right? That's one thing. Like, I think he loves him some Miami, as I remember.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm a player, there is a little bit of, hey, I get to spend the winter in Miami.
Miles Gaskin. Casey.
Miles blew a Gaskin. So it's the guy we know, but we don't know.
He's a big fantasy issue. Everyone's like, wait, is this guy for real? Are they going to get another running back? But don't you want to be in Miami? Miami could make the playoffs, by the way. We discount Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I know. It's about Kansas City, I think, more than Miami. The Kansas City, we think, well, there's going to be a playoff check. There could be a couple playoff checks. Could be a Super Bowl check. I understand that.
And winning is a lot of fun.
It is, but with the Jets, he didn't even get the ball. I wonder if he got the ball, he would have been okay with playing for the Jets, even though I want to play. Like, I want the ball. If I'm with Kansas City, I get chances there. But I still want to be able to play.
Yeah, he's still going to play. He's just going to play on a team that's actually good.
Yeah,
I mean, why would you want to go from the Jets, who are just atrocious, to the Dolphins that are like, hey, man,
because
you never know.
Because
never know.
My next two or three games are against the Jets if I go to the Dolphins. I get to play great, I get the ball, I get Tua's going to be playing by the end of the year.
Oh, that'll be fun. You could get to spend the whole year with his learning curve. All right, awesome.
Nobody's complaining about the learning curve with Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow. Yes, McLovin.
Do you remember when Bell held out and every day he put up a viral video of him on South Beach hanging out at the beach? I think the South Beach factor is the only thing for the Dolphins. You're right. Football-wise, Chiefs by 1,000, but South Beach?
Yeah. I still want to carry the ball. I want the rock, man. Yes, Paulie.
By the way, I would live in Kansas City any day over Miami. I've been to both. It's not even close for me. Kansas City's fantastic. You ever been there? Good weather?
Yeah, I've been there.
Great food?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, Tom.
It's just like, why aren't top free agents running to be in the big market of New York City? They have no interest in being on the crummy Knicks.
Thank you, Todd.
Welcome.
Miles Gaskin, the 234th pick out of Washington, in case you were wondering. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel, it's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The original light beer, 1975, Miller Lite.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, 1975. Perfect companion for us grill masters across the United States. This past weekend, even Mother's Day, I'm treating myself while I'm treating my wife for Mother's Day. Out there cooking, and I've got my Miller Lite, my friend, right there with me. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. You can't debate it.
I would try it.
No, you can't. Taste as great as the barbecue you're making. The beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. It tastes like a beer. Less filling. Only 96 calories. With a Miller Lite in hand, grilling doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells great beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance. Helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM. Let's create.
He's Albert Breer, senior NFL reporter and also a contributor to Monday Morning Quarterback. He joins us on the program. Why is Le'Veon Bell a great fit for Kansas City?
Well, you mentioned the short yardage thing. I think that's certainly a factor, Dan, that Damian Williams, who had served in that role for the Chiefs, opted out. So that left a hole in the roster. I think the other thing is they still love Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Part of the thing with him, though, you look at his history, he really only was a bell cow for 1 year at LSU. Like all rookies, he's never played a season as long as he's going to play this year. And they've been relying on him pretty heavily over the first month of the season. So this allows them to move Clyde Edwards-Helaire to maybe a little bit more of a situational role now, which potentially could mean you get more out of him in December and January and February. The other thing that I'd mention, quietly, their offensive line's been a little bit of an issue. And if you look back when they struggled against the 49ers early in the Super Bowl, when they struggled early against the Chargers in week two, when they struggled against the Patriots, and then when they lost last week, in all of those games, you see at the line of scrimmage, they're having some issues. And so one way to mitigate some of those issues is to add a great running back who can, you know, churn out tough yards, can help you in pass protection, and Le'Veon Bell brings all of those things. So the hope is you get a motivated player here, helps you preserve Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit, and maybe helps you mitigate what's been a little bit of an issue on the offensive line.
Why is there a mystery around the Indianapolis Colts and their game this weekend?
I don't think it's much of a mystery, Dan. I mean, I think this is all sort of a result of what happened with the Titans and the Patriots over the last few weeks. And this is sort of where we are, and I think where we're going to be for the rest of the season, where when any team has multiple positive tests over the course of a few days, they're going to shut down the facility in the short term. I don't think it would have happened 3 or 4 weeks ago this way. But based on what happened on Tennessee, I think this is sort of the way that everybody is going to move forward now. And it's sort of interesting, too. You know, you look at it, and, you know, a lot of people have, and rightfully, have said, like, these teams should be acting with the most caution they possibly can and not trying to bowl through this. Well, now that they are, it's hard for, like, me to turn around and say, okay, like, now we'll hit the panic button. Like, this is what you asked for. You wanted them to be more cautious. I think they should be more cautious. Now they are being cautious, and every time one of these comes up, people want to hit the panic button. I just think they're acting out of caution. And in all likelihood, it'll be a situation like the Falcons had earlier this week, where they had two positive tests. They shut down for a day and they're back in the building this morning.
What's Odell Beckham Jr.'s mysterious illness?
I think it's a normal illness. And, you know, and that's another thing, Dan, that we're going to be dealing with, you know, because the testing isn't perfect. And I think there have been cases, not just in football, but nationwide, you know, where people come down with it and they consistently test negative. This is going to be tricky for the NFL, because every time somebody comes down with a stomach bug, with the flu, with a cold, you almost have to treat it like it's COVID, even if the guy is testing negative. And you know, you've been around the league for a long time, Dan. I mean, the stuff that guys fight through in November and December on an annual basis, the things that teams do to manage the flu in their locker room so guys can play. It's like the amount of guys that are doing that every single year. The public doesn't know this, but it's huge, you know? And so this could add a very real and different dynamic to the rest of the season, where, you know, guys just come down with normal sicknesses that you would get any November or December. And now you got to shelve them for a week or two because you're worried that it could be COVID, even if the guy is testing negative.
Stephon Gilmore, Cam Newton, good to go.
Yeah, they're a go. And, that's another interesting one, because they, obviously, I think it's a story because those are two very huge names, and the Patriots had a total of four tests over that period. But I think we saw the system at work, you know, over the last few days, where I don't think Cam would have played against the Broncos had the game been held last weekend. And now, you know, that game gets delayed and we have sort of this inequity. Now, the other side of it, the interesting part about it is, you know, it also bought the Broncos time to get Drew Locke healthy, and he had a shoulder injury. And so, you know, where, you know, 6 days ago we would have had, I think, Rippon versus Hoyer or Rippon versus Stidham, now we're getting Newton versus Locke, which is another kind of interesting quirk to the way all of this works.
You look at some teams, obviously we have it top heavy. There's some really good teams, but we have a whole lot. There's an abundance of bad teams right now.
Yep.
And we know that prize at the end of the season could be Trevor Lawrence here. At what point does a team say it is smarter for us, like the Jets?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, you know, the Giants, maybe to a lesser degree, but at what point do you think these teams start to strategize of this is what's best for us, bigger picture, long term, particularly if you're the Jets right now?
Yeah, I think our point of reference, Dan, is probably 2011. You know, because I mean, look, like I've talked to scouts over the last 2 years about Trevor Lawrence, and you know, the consensus I'd say across the board is this is a once in a decade type of prospect. You know, and if you want to look over the last 40 years, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence, like I think he's that good a prospect, and so. If you remember at the end of the 2011 season, there were some questions about how the Colts were managing their roster, and there was all kinds of buzz how other teams were going to handle it. The Rams were one of those you might remember. And so I don't think it happens yet, but I think once we get to around Thanksgiving, it starts to crystallize what teams are actually in the running for that first overall pick. Maybe we start to see some stuff. As of right now, you know, the thing that prevents it from happening now is most bad teams have people in positions of power that are fighting for their jobs. So their mentality is, I need to save my job. I'm not worried about what's happening in 2021. But as we get later in the year, I certainly think that could become a factor.
Well, you got the trade deadline coming up in a couple of weeks. Can you see the Jets trade Sam Darnold, and would there be a taker? Could the Falcons trade Matt Ryan? Would there be a taker? Would the Lions trade Matthew Stafford? Would there be a taker?
I don't think so. My guess is you wouldn't see one of the quarterbacks traded. Let's start with the Jets and Darnold. You know, you'd be gambling big time that you wind up with the number one overall pick. And I think that the Jets trading Darnold would have to be tied to having the number one overall pick. So my guess is like Sam Darnold probably winds up on the roster the rest of the year. And whatever they do with Sam Darnold depends on kind of rides on where they're picking in April. And so, you know, I think Sam Darnold would have a ton of value out there. I think baseline, what Josh Rosen brought home for the Cardinals a couple of years ago, which was a 2 and a 5. But I do think it could wind up being as much as a late one. Like, say you're Pittsburgh, for example. An executive brought this up to me the other day. Do you flip the 25th pick in the draft for Sam Darnold? Now you have your potential replacement for Ben Roethlisberger. To me, that makes a lot of sense because the Steelers may never be picking high enough to get a Trevor Lawrence or a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields. So I think Sam Darnold will have some value. You know, with Matt Ryan, I think the Falcons would need to be blown away. I know Arthur Blank and Rich McKay would like to leave that up to whoever the next coach and GM are. And then in Detroit, I think this is, you know, again, sort of a situation where everybody there is fighting for their job. So unless the plug gets pulled on Bob Quinn or Matt Patricia, I think they're counting on Matt Stafford to help them turn it around and convince the Ford family to keep him in 2021.
A couple of things I was told prior to the draft. That the Colts were really interested in Jordan Love. And then the Packers went up and got him because they knew that that was going to be the heir apparent to Phillip Rivers. And then with the Lions, that they were really kicking the tires on Tua. And I don't know if you heard that, but that was from, you know, a source of mine who I trust. But like that explains a little bit about Green Bay worried that maybe Indianapolis was going to swoop in and take him. And then would Tua go to Detroit? And I was told that that staff in Detroit was saying, look, if we don't make this work this year, we're not going to have these jobs. And therefore, they didn't want to go in on Tua and then maybe try to do something with Stafford. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and I can tell you, Dan, I can add to that. You know, Detroit's really kicked the tires on quarterbacks for the last 2 years. In fact, if you guys remember, Dave Gettleman saying there were two teams he was worried about when he drafted Daniel Jones 6th instead of 17th overall. One of those teams, I think it was out there, was Washington. Jay Gruden really liked Daniel Jones. I was told the other team was Detroit, that the Giants had information that Detroit was really interested in Daniel Jones as well. And so it's not that they don't like Stafford. I think they really they love Matthew Stafford personally and as a player. The injuries have sort of piled up. And so that's caused them to at least take a hard look at quarterbacks, not just last year, but over the last 2 years. And what was the other one you mentioned there?
I mentioned Jordan Love to the Colts.
Jordan Love. I think the Colts, so the way the Colts view view Phillip Rivers right now, he's buying them time. Chris Ballard was in Kansas City with John Dorsey, right, and Andy Reid. And they had Alex Smith on the roster. And what Alex Smith allowed them to do was it bought them time to find the long-term answer. And then when they saw somebody they really liked, they got very aggressive and went up and got him. And so the Colts are in that sort of – they've sort of created that window for themselves where, all right, like we got Phillip Rivers for right now. Hopefully this buys us a little time to find the right guy. I would not be surprised at all, Dan, if the Colts are ultra aggressive and trying to move up to go and get one of the top three. It probably won't be Lawrence, but maybe a Fields or a Lance when we get to April.
Yeah, and I still go back to, you know, I was told that the Saints were going to take Patrick Mahomes if he was there. Yeah. Like, isn't that amazing?
Yep. They were picking 11th that year. That was who Brett Veach had strong information that the Saints really, really loved him and were planning to take him 11. So that was sort of the pressure point that the Chiefs had to leap over the Saints, and they wound up with the 10th pick. That was where they needed to go to get Mahomes. And I can tell you, there are two quarterbacks that Sean Payton has stood on the table for in New Orleans over the last 5 years or so. One was Patrick Mahomes. The other one he really loved was Baker Mayfield.
But, you know, Patrick Mahomes would be third string because he'd be behind Taysom Hill on the depth chart in New Orleans, yeah. though, right?
And maybe fighting with Jameis for a roster spot, right?
Are you a Taysom Hillist?
Based on my eyes, no. Based on my eyes, what my eyes are telling me is there's not we just haven't seen enough. Like, I just haven't seen enough.
He's 30 years of age, Albert. It's not like, you know, this is.
And I know. And that's the thing. That's the thing I keep coming back to is like, shouldn't we be seeing more now? But then based on my ears and you hear the way people in New Orleans talk about him. And I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you watch him and it's like, God, they're like, I don't know. Like anytime like they're in a position where he has to throw the ball, it's a complete crapshoot, right? But then you look at the guy who's calling the shots here, and it's Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Who knows more about quarterbacks than Sean Payton? Who's been better at coaching and developing quarterbacks over the last, 15 years in the NFL than Sean Payton? And so I'd always, defer to what Sean Payton thinks. And it's not just what I'm hearing. They gave him a lot of money, And so, like, I look at it, and it's like, no, I'm not seeing it. I'm with everybody else on that, but – shouldn't we trust Sean Payton on this? I feel like he's earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to that position.
Yeah, no. I feel like Jameis Winston is more the future at that position than Taysom Hill.
It could be. And hey, look, I thought it was a great move by Jameis to go there. Honestly, to go rehabilitate your reputation, go to a place where you're going to get to learn. Both those guys, Taysom Hill, and somebody down there mentioned this to me, a couple weeks ago, how, Taysom and Jameis, like, imagine the graduate level quarterbacking school that those guys are in getting to watch Drew Brees work on a day-to-day basis. I mean, that's phenomenal for both those guys, So I think Jameis, if there is something there, I think Jameis went to the place that's going to find it, Sean Payton, getting to work with Drew Brees, like, you'd have to think like the different factors in play in New Orleans would smoke out whatever sort of player Jameis Winston can be. Over the next, over the course of the 2020 season.
Always great to talk to you, Albert. We appreciate the time and have a great weekend. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Pitch on the way. And Correa hits it in the air. Pretty deep to center. Sends back Kiermaier at the wall. See you later and see you tomorrow. The Houston Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth on Correa's walk-off homer, 4-3. And there will be a game six.
That's a great moment. And, Carlos Correa called it. Told Dusty Baker, I'm going to have a walk-off. Todd, you're not allowed to talk about the Astros. They did well.
I was talking more about the broadcast. It looked like he totally misjudged that had any chance of going out, if you heard the beginning of that call. There's a fly ball to center.
I don't know if it sounded exactly like that.
I like the calls where it's like, wait, there's a drive. But from the beginning, it's like, there's a fly ball to center field. Oh, my God, I'm misjudging. This may be all wrong.
No, but that's what happens when you do play-by-play. You like to build up to it. It's rare when you just say, that's gone. Like, you go, and there's a drive. It's
fly ball to center field. That should be in. Oh my God! This game is over. We'll see you tomorrow night. I may have stolen that from someone.
Will be a game six. Yes.
It's funny too. How many times play-by-play guys go? I mean, are you kidding me? That like every play that happens, it'll be, you know, a home run or whatever it is. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, they'll blame it on the wind for misjudging the call. There's a fly ball. Oh, wow, the wind must have really pulled that out there. To me, that looked like a pop up to short.
Crushing it, Tyler.
Can we play that again? Do we have the sound?
Oh my God!
The play, the play's gonna play of the day.
Left side, got it.
I'm gonna play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Pitch on the way, and Correa hits it in the air, pretty deep to center. Sends back Kiermaier at the wall. See you later, and see you tomorrow. The Houston Astros. All right.
Had a problem with that.
It was not as slow as you're kind of pointing out.
It reeked of having no clue that there was any chance of that being a game-winning home run.
I like Todd's version better.
Yeah.
And the fly ball is trying to feel. That should wrap up. That's a walk-off. He told Dusty he would do it, and he did it.
Houston became the first team in postseason history to hit both a leadoff home run and a walk-off home run. George Springer and Carlos Correa, game six tonight, first pitch at 6 Eastern. That's courtesy of Fox Sports Radio, KBME, the Astros radio.
Yeah. Popped up to short, and I think he's going to wave off the center field. The center field's going, what? What's gone? It's a home run! Game six tomorrow night, Rays, you're not winning the AL pennant tonight!
Play of the day brought to you by Traeger. We have the Traeger fired up today, and the menu is beer bread, beer braised chicken tacos, and short rib chili. Alan, our IT guy slash chef slash cook, has done an unbelievable job again on this Traeger Meat Friday. Check out your grill, TraegerGrills.com/DP Show today. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulge indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, baseball senior writer, of course, working for Fox and MLB during the playoffs. He was in Arlington, Texas last night. The Dodgers and the Braves, Game 5 at 9 Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Tom, kind enough to join us here. You saw Kershaw go out for the sixth inning. What did you think?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. He had a low pitch count. He had seemed to have things in order. The issue was when things started to unravel a little bit, right? I mean, we've been watching Dave Roberts in these postseasons the last few years, and especially third time around the lineup. I mean, he's quick with the trigger. It's the way the Dodgers do business. So to me, the flashpoint, it wasn't Kersh on Freeman, because he's handled Freeman pretty well over the career. He made a bad pitch to Freeman, like a really bad pitch. And the Dodgers got burned with their defense, by the way, if you notice. That was a ground ball single turned into a double because they had Mookie Wilson shifted over to right center. That tells me Kershaw was supposed to get the ball away from Freeman. He didn't, got burned. The flashpoint was Ozuna. Ozuna actually said after the game, after that Ocuna infield hit, when the throw was made, you know, went into the dugout and he went to second. Ozuna said he talked to Freeman and he said, "You get on base and then I'll get Gratterol." He was already assuming that Kershaw would not pitch to him a third time. So that's the flashpoint. Didn't have a problem with him starting the inning.
You know, we can think that the Dodgers bats, you know, woke up with 11 runs in that first inning the previous game. But after the third inning of that game, those bats didn't do anything. I think they had basically three hits. So it's not like they came alive. They came alive for a moment. And then after that, you know, that previous game and then last night, the Dodger bats have been pretty silent here. It's like Seager's the one guy. Mookie Betts hasn't done much here, so Bellinger hasn't done much. There's a lot of fingers if you're pointing for fingers of blame here, Tom.
Yeah, it's a great point because, yeah, I mean, we love talking about the pitching decisions or manager decisions on pitchers, right? But that's a great point. They really have not hit. And you think about the guys who have shut them down, you know, after that big outburst in Game 3, it was – Huascar Ynoa, a 22-year-old right-hander with very little major league experience. And last night you had this kid, Bryce Wilson, who pitched an unbelievable game, had seven career starts, 22 years old, hadn't pitched in a week and 2 weeks and a half. So, you know, they're not seeing Cy Young winners shutting them down. Maybe it's just they're not familiar with these guys, but a big load has to go to the Dodger offense because it was number one in baseball this year.
I also wondered about this when I was looking at the NBA bubble. You saw a lot of young teams do well because you didn't have to travel to Staples and play in front of a hostile crowd. You're playing in a basically sterile environment there. These younger players, and the Braves had a lot of younger players, they're there in the, they're not at Dodger Stadium. They're there in Arlington. There's no real, you know, home field disadvantage here. There's no booing. There's none of that. Feels like that plays right into the Braves that it's a young team. They may not know better, and they're not intimidated by any of this.
I'm with you, especially when it comes to the pitchers. There's no question about that. Actually, last night when the game started, of the nine people on the field for the Braves, five of them were 23 and younger. Oh. And they're shutting down, you know, this juggernaut of a team because the Dodgers in the regular season were a juggernaut. I'll tell you, because I've been in the bubble, I'm down there, it feels like a college or high school atmosphere. Because the families are really close to the field here in Arlington. There's 11,000 people, but they're scattered around. It's really not that loud. They still have some fake crowd noise in there. But they're all saying hello to mom and dad or the girlfriend. It really feels like an American Legion tournament. So you're right. I think it does help, especially these young pitchers. I mean, you put them in Dodger Stadium, 50,000 people, you know, triple deck. That's a different atmosphere than a bubble.
If this doesn't work out for the Dodgers, what happens with Dave Roberts, if anything?
I don't think anything happens, really.
Okay.
You know, again, it depends how it ends the next couple of days. If it does, I'm not counting them out, Dan. I mean, this is a really, really good team. You saw the way they broke out in the first inning the other night. I'm not saying they're going to score 11 again. But man, the lineup is due to break out with something here at some point beyond what they did in that one inning. So I'm not ruling them out. It's going to be difficult, though. Don't get me wrong. Bullpen day for the Braves today. And then you've got Fried and Anderson. And I think both those two guys are legit.
Oh,
and
man.
Fried is probably the tougher matchup for the Dodgers. But both of those guys are really good.
That curveball his, I hadn't seen much of him, but I when I watched him, I was like, oh my gosh.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because the way they've shut down the Dodgers here overall, you know, the one exception, this is not a high velocity team. We love talking about fastballs, and the Dodgers have a million guys coming out of the bullpen throwing literally 100 miles an hour. If you lined up the 16 playoff teams, the Braves are 13th in average velocity. So you've got Fried with that curveball. He's added the slider. You've got Anderson with that killer changeup. I thought Wilson did a great job mixing up his pitches. They're not beating the Dodgers with velocity or pure stuff. They're pitching this group. And you have to give them credit for being so young and this good.
What advice would you give the Astros when it comes to questions about 2017?
I go full on Nuke LaLoosh and be as dull and boring as possible, right? Don't take the bait. Because you know what happened in that first round with Minnesota, right? Carlos Correa, they got through Minnesota. He's like, oh, we're back. You know, we're like the Bills. You wanted to get rid of us. You can't get rid of us. I think some guys talked to him because the next round they were like very chill about it. I think that's the way I would hand it. Don't give anybody any more ammunition. You've done plenty of that already.
And Altuve's had a couple of big hits. Are his throwing woes that was only one game there?
No, but I can tell you a story here. Before that series, the Rays scouts in their hitters meeting before the series, they said, when you hit a ground ball to second base, even a routine one, bust it down the line. We're not sure if this guy's going to make the play. So they saw something there with his body language, how deliberate he was, the arm, whatever it was, they put those guys on notice. So if you notice, Choi and Lau busted it down the line on routine balls and put pressure on him. I'm not sure that goes away that quickly, Dan.
And you've been around long enough that we had Chuck Knobloch and we have Steve Sachs. Mackie Sasser couldn't throw the ball back to the mound. Did you ever do, I'm sure you did, but like talk to a psychologist or somebody who would look at this and say, what happens in the brain when, you know, Rick Ankiel's another one.
Yeah, it's when athletes start to think, right? They start to think about the process. The lack of thought, you hear that from hitters all the time, right? I wasn't thinking anything, just see the ball, hit it. You know, it's funny, the guy pitching, well, he pitched in relief last night for the Braves, Tyler Matzek. He had the yips as a pitcher, right? He was out of baseball, former number one pick out of baseball. It took him a year going to see psychologists, psychiatrists, throwing every day on his own. And it took him another year in the minor leagues, independent ball, to get back. I think more guys just don't get back. It's really hard to get back from it. And it seems to affect second baseman, as you mentioned there, and the occasional pitcher.
But it's an odd throw from second base. It's like an odd throw when a comebacker goes to the mound. The pitcher he's guiding it. Shortstop and third, you have to unleash it. You know, it's rare when you get, you know, a looper that you can throw in there. Second was always odd. And I was a former shortstop, so you get it and you fire. Second, sometimes you fire, sometimes you lob it, and it feels like sometimes you're right in between.
Well, I think you're on something there. When you have a little bit of extra time, that clock tells you have a little bit of time, that's when the brain starts to get in the way of the muscles, right? If you're a shortstop in the hole, third base, long throw, you don't have time to think about it. Second baseman knows he has time, and I think that works against them.
If I would have told you when the Marlins had their outbreak that they were going to make the playoffs, what would you have said?
No way. I mean, Don Mattingly did an incredible job with that team. I mean, you think about it, they had 18 people out. I think it was 174 roster moves they went through. They had 20 guys make their major league debuts in a 60-game season. I mean, it was crazy. But, you know, listen, that young group found itself. Mattingly did a great job. Their young pitching is legit. I didn't think it would come this quickly. But, again, Dan, you made the point about nobody in the stands. I think that helped them. It was sort of a bonding experience, too, to go through what they did. But bottom line was, I think Mattingly has to be the manager of the year for the job that he did with that group.
Have fun tonight there. 9 Eastern on Fox Sports 1, and it'll be Braves and Dodgers again. Do you think we're going to live to see another game?
I do. I can't count out the Dodgers. You know what? I think it's a low-scoring game tonight again, though, because that Braves bullpen, it's a bullpen game. Brian Snitker's got a lot of good options. So, you know, most cases, most teams are up against it with a bullpen game, not the Braves.
Thank you, Tom. I know you're busy. We appreciate you making some time for us.
You got it, Dan. Have a good one.
That's Tom Verducci, Sports Illustrated, senior writer working for Fox Sports and MLB. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. We keep wondering if Nick Saban is somehow going to be involved in the coaching decisions, whether on the outside looking in or on the inside looking in. Eli Gold has been calling all the action for Alabama football for 32 years now, and he hosts the Nick Saban Show one-hour program, airing every Thursday night during the regular season and the postseason. Eli, kind enough to join us. How was the show with Coach last night, Eli?
It was fine, Dan, and it's great to be on with you. And, yeah, he was, of course, what he did do was obviously work from home. It was a Zoom setup very much like you and I have here this morning. Yes, normally he's there with us, but he was on Zoom and he was wonderful. He felt great. He was smiling. And again, what people see of Nick Saban sometimes is that 40-second soundbite behind the podium during his press conference. On our talk show, though, he's a whole lot looser. The smiles are a whole lot more free to flow. And that's how he was last night. He was just fine. We were joined by Andy Staples from The Athletic, and we all talked Bama football. And we probably spent 7 minutes of the hour talking about his medical condition, and he made it clear that he's doing just fine.
How is he planning on being involved in this game? Like, what we're trying to figure this out, you know, Eli. How can he be involved?
I guess he's trying to figure it out as well, Dan. He did take a few minutes of his airtime to talk about how he wished there was a better way to do this. You know, could they not alter rules, not for him, but for all coaches? You know, if there is a situation like this, can you not work from an isolated press box area, luxury suite, whatever? So I honestly don't know any more than you do. It was clear that he was not relishing the idea of having to be at the house. And I'm sure Miss Terry wasn't relishing that idea either, having the coach around the house during a ball game. But as of last night and as of this morning, you know, I have heard nothing to indicate that he will be at the game. But you just never know.
I would love to have a camera on him, Eli. I would rather watch him watch the game than watch the game itself.
I hear you. I'll tell you, I'll be very honest with you. After he and Greg Byrne, our director of athletics, tested positive, my family got on me to go get a COVID test, which I did yesterday morning. And thank God it was negative. But I said to my wife, I said, you know, I have not missed a Bama game in 32 years. I said, I cannot imagine having to sit around the house if I couldn't do the broadcast from the house somehow. I said, I can't imagine. And I said, I just can't imagine what Coach Saban would be going through. So, you know, we chuckle about it, but, you know, it could be reality. But you know what? Everything that the man does, and I know you've visited with him many times, everything the man does is calculated. Any potential opportunity to educate and help the coaches get ready for a game without him has been done yesterday, is being done today, and will be done tomorrow up until 90 minutes before kickoff. So is it ideal? No. You're never better without the greatest coach who is a hands-on coach walking the sidelines. But if God forbid he has to be at the house, well, it's not like he's got chopped liver there on the sidelines. He's got some pretty good assistants who will run the show.
Your greatest call in your 32 years is what?
Wow. Well, I guess it's not for me to say, but there are two.
Your favorite call.
There are two. One because of the context, and that was the overtime win against Georgia for the national championship when Tua threw the second and 26 pass to Devontae Smith. The other one was at the Rose Bowl Stadium. It wasn't the Rose Bowl game, but it was the Rose Bowl Stadium when Bama beat Texas for the national championship. And for folks who don't remember, and very quickly, back in the day, Southern football was not what it is today. The West Coast teams were the powerhouses. And Alabama got on the train and went out to Pasadena and won two Rose Bowl games back in the 20s and really elevated Southern college football. So Bama was playing Texas at the Rose Bowl, and the Tide won. That was the game when Colt McCoy got hurt. And I wrapped up the broadcast by saying that the roses in this grand old stadium are once again crimson. And that kind of put a bow not only on the day, but on the history as Bama goes back to the Rose Bowl Stadium and further asserts themselves. I was pretty proud of that one.
Well, have fun this weekend. Should be a great game, obviously, with Georgia and Eli. Congrats on a long, long success there. Well done. 32 years. Thank you for joining us.
I tell people I started when I was three. Nobody wants to believe that. But Dan, thanks. It's great to be on with you. I've loved your work for years.
Thank you. Thank you, Eli. That's the play-by-play voice for Alabama football. And as Fritzy likes to point out, of course, a guy from Brooklyn who's doing Alabama football for 32
years.
How
awesome is that?
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.